This is the story about the very first paroi who was ever in Mitzrayim. Okay. A long time ago, there was a man. His name was Rekayoin. Rekayoin means empty. He was an empty man. Aril Shlemazel. He didn't have mazel. He wasn't able to make money for his family. He had a job. He couldn't make money. He tried to sell vegetables. He opened up a store of vegetables. He came in the morning. His vegetables were all shriveled up. The bananas and the lettuces and the tomatoes were all shriveled up and rotten and no good. So nobody would come into his store. And the other vegetable store had good stuff. His stuff was all junky. So he said, I'll try another business. I'll sell furniture. He opened up a furniture store. Tables and chairs. For some reason, a person would sit down on a chair in his store, right away it would break. He'd sit down by a table in his store, right away it would break. He sat on a couch, and the couch would break. I can't do this business, furniture. I'll open something else. I'll open up a bakery. Tries to open up a bakery. I'll sell bread, I'll sell donuts. Either the bread was always burnt, or it wasn't done enough, or they left out the salt, or it platzed, or the cakes tasted sour. He tried to sell a chocolate cake, it tasted like an onion cake. This Rekayoin was a real shlemazel. He could not make a living. He was always poor. So he thought, you know what I'll do? I'll go far away to a new place. And even though this Rekayoin was not a Yid, he had heard about the idea when a person goes to another place, sometimes his mazel changes. Maybe in a different place, I'll get lucky and I'll be able to make some money, make a living. Where did he decide to go? He decided to go to Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim to try to make a living. He goes down to Mitzrayim. Of course, he has to walk because he couldn't afford to take a camel or ride on a donkey. He goes all the way down to Mitzrayim. And he tries to sell some vegetables down there. The same thing. Not the vegetables got rotten, but nobody could understand what he's saying because he couldn't speak the language of Mitzrayim. So he goes around trying to talk to people to buy his vegetables. They didn't know what he's saying. Nobody would buy from him because he couldn't understand them and they couldn't understand him. Vaiter Shlemazel. What's he going to do? He's walking around. Doesn't know what to do with himself. One day, he gets in his head, what do I have to have these schleppy jobs for? What do I have to always have a job that never works out? Let me think, what kind of a thing would I really like to have? If I could have the choice job of my wishes, what would I like to be? What I would like to be is an officer of the king. That's my dream. You know, everybody has a dream, something they'd like to do, like to be. The client says, what I would love to be is an officer of the king, to be in the palace, to have nice clothes, a nice uniform, to good food in the palace, plenty of money. And since I would be the favorite officer of the king, I would get so many presents from the king and so much money from the king and so much covet from the king. And I would always be around important people and officers and fancy schmancy things in the palace. That's what I would love to do. So what's stopping me? Let me just go straight to the point. I'll go over to the palace of the king. In those days, there was no such thing as a paroi. It was just the king of Mitzrayim. I will go to the palace of the king, and I'll go and ask the guards. I want to see the king. After all, I am smart. I just don't have any mazel. Some people, kinalach, are very smart. They don't have any mazel. They can't do things that will work out. Things always just don't work out. And other people are not so smart, and they have a wonderful mazel. They can become millionaires. Or they can have a lot of hatzlocha, because hatzlocha does not depend sometimes on how smart you are or not. It could depend on Hashem's bracha, on a thing called mazel. Hashem, for some reason, picks a person to be successful or not. A yid and lahavdil also a goy. And Rikayan was smart. So Rikayan decided he's going to go to the palace of the king. He goes to the palace of the king, and over there by the entrance of the palace, there are guards. Yes, who are you? What do you want to do here? The guards knew how to speak different languages, and so they were able to speak to Rikayan, and he could speak to them. Yeah, I would like to be a officer of the king. I would like to see the king, that he should give me a job in the palace. And the officers start to laugh. You want to see the king, right? You want to get a job from the king. Oh, is that a joke? Is that funny? You want to just come up, walk up to the palace, and go right in to see the king. What a good joke. And they were laughing. The king says, what's wrong with that? Why can't I see the king? Don't you know nobody could see the king in Mitzrayim? No one sees the king. Even officers don't get to see the king. Unless, of course, the king calls them, and the king wants to see them, and he invites them into his private room, then the special officers get to see the king. But a regular person, even a regular officer, he doesn't get to see the king. And Rikayan says, you mean no one ever gets to see the king? People never get to see the king? Well, the officers say, one day of the year, only one day of the year, the king comes out of a special room where his throne is, and he comes out into the big room where everybody is, and he sits on a special throne in that room, and during that one day of the year, regular people could have a chance to see the king, and also regular officers and regular guards. They could have a chance only on one day of the whole year. And Rikayan says, and what does a person have to do to get a chance to see the king on that one day of the year? And the guards say, well, usually it's some kind of a court case, some kind of a judgment that other judges, they cannot take care of. It's a very complicated thing or a very smart thing that the other judges can't figure out. And so all of these cases that the other judges the whole year cannot figure out because they're not smart enough, they come in front of the king himself, and the king hears the case or the argument, what people have to argue about, and the king himself decides these judgments and these cases, because the king is the highest judge of the land. And if a person has a very complicated court case or judgment, then he can come in front of the king. Or else some very special kinds of people that have very, very special things that they have done, or the king wants to see them for some reason, they come in front of the king on that day also. Otherwise, the whole year, no one sees the king, only a very few officers, the highest ones, that the king calls to his throne in his private room. And Rikayan says, thank you very much. You told me enough. I appreciate that. So I'll just wait for that one day and I'll see the king. And they laugh again. Hey, you think that when the one day comes, you're going to see the king just like that, do you? Rikayan says, you'll see. I'm going to see the king on that one day. Not only I'm going to see the king, he might call me that I should come to him, that he wants to see me. Oh, the guard said, look who we're talking to over here. A big, big man, important man. Ooh, yeah. The king's going to call you. Oh, look who's here. Mr. Matthias himself, Mr. Balgaivanik. A big shot. Well, Kinalach, they were laughing at Rikayan, but Rikayan, he went away, and his mind was going, he was thinking of a plan of how to see the king. And Rikayan started walking around Mitzrayim, thinking of a way that he would be able to see the king. And this is exactly what he did. One day, Rikayan was walking by the graveyard, the Beis HaKfareis. Now, if a person dies, Rahman Letzlan, we know that they take the person to a special place called the Beis HaKfaras, and over there they put them in the ground. These are special places. Now, in Mitzrayim, there was only one Beis HaKfaras in the whole country. It wasn't like some places, like in America, you have different places, you have different kinds of Beis HaKfaras. There could be one here, one there. In Mitzrayim, in the whole country, there was only one. And anybody who died, they had to be buried in this one Beis HaKfaras. It was a very, very big place. It had a wall around it. And it had a certain doorway that you go in through. And any levaya, any time that a person passed away, they buried them in this one Beis HaKfaras. And Rekayin starts to look and see that since this is the only one in Mitzrayim, so every day there are a few levayas that come. Because in a country as big as Mitzrayim with many, many people, so every day people are born and every day people die. And as he watched, he got an idea in his head. By this time, Rekayin had learned a few words of the language of Mitzrayim, so he could talk to people. He started going around talking to men also that were walking around, that didn't have jobs, that didn't have what to do. He went and he gathered up about 50 of these men. Now, how did he do that? He promised them that he's got a plan that's going to make them a lot of money. He promised them, if you come with me and do what I say, you're going to get a lot of money. And these men, all of them, they found whatever money they could, or they sold whatever they could. They got some money together. And they all went now shopping to the store where there's material that you make clothes out of. They went with their coin. They went to the store. They bought material. And they bought shiny golden buttons. And they bought stuff to make hats out of. They were very poor. They just couldn't go and buy ready clothes and ready hats. But they bought the material for it. They took all this material. They got their own threads and their own needles. And together with Rekayin, they went over to a place all together and they started to make uniforms for themselves. Now, one thing that Rekayin had learned how to do was to sew. Because one time he had tried to become a tailor, but every time he tried to sew something, it tore or ripped apart or fell apart or the buttons fell off. But this time he's going to really try hard. And he showed the men how to make pants and how to make clothes, how to make coats, how to make shirts. They even made their own fancy shoes and they made their own hats and they had fancy buttons all over there and they made badges out of shiny material. And they made now beautiful uniforms that looked like a special army. Nobody had ever seen these uniforms before. They looked so special and so shiny and so important. And now these men put on these uniforms, and boy, did they look important. Like all of them, like chiefs of police or generals or something. And the next day, they went to the Beis HaKfaras, to the graveyard, and Rekayin had a special uniform on, with special colors and special buttons, and even more buttons than anybody else, and more badges, and more strings, and more fancy stuff all over his uniform, and things sticking out of his hat and sticking out of his pockets that made him look like a big general. And now they're standing over there by the gate of the graveyard in Mitzrayim. A little while later, there comes a levaya. People are crying. They're carrying the box. And inside the box is the person that passed away. They want to go bury him in the graveyard. But as they're going through the gate, all of a sudden, Rekayin goes over there with his 50 men dressed up in fancy uniforms. And Rekayin says, stop. First, you have to pay the tax money. And the people that are crying, they say, well, what are you talking about? What money? And Rikayon says, didn't you know? The king has sent me, General Rikayon, to be here, to stand by the gate of the graveyard. And he told me that anyone who comes in and they want to use the graveyard has to pay 200 golden dollars. Or else they can't come in. This is a new tax, a new collection of money that goes to the king, because he wants this money. Because sometimes, Kinalak, the king, he charges money to use a bridge or to use a road. This is called taxes. It goes to the king. So the king decided he is going to have a tax on bringing somebody into the graveyard of Mitzrayim. And Rikayon says, the king sent me and these officers over here to guard the graveyard and to make sure that people pay the king's tax. And Kinalach, the people by the Levaya were very sad. They didn't know the difference. They didn't want to argue. All they want to do is bury the dead person. And they believed Rikayon. He looked so important with his fancy uniform. They didn't think, maybe this is a fake, maybe this is a phony baloney mice over here. And all of them got together, and they got together 200 golden dollars from everybody together, and they paid Rikayon the money. And they went and made the Levaya. And Rikayon and the other men, when nobody was looking, they started to smile and laugh. Oh, is this plan working? Ooh, look at all the money we got. Now Rikayon says, well, it's good money, but this is not all I want. This is only the beginning. You're going to see. Now, Kinalach, we know that the main thing Rikayon wants to do is see the king. Remember? Of course he wants the money, but the main thing he wants is to become a big officer of the king. Well, a little while later, there comes another Levaya. Because from the whole country, they all come to this one place. And again, the people are crying, and they're carrying the box, and they come to the gate, and Rikayon and his officers go over there. Stop! Wait! First, pay the tax! And the people say, what are you talking about? What tax? We have to make a Levaya. Of course, I know, but I'm the officer sent by the king to collect the tax of 200 golden dollars. Don't you know? And the people said, we don't know anything. What do you mean? And he explains again, and they have to now pay again 200 golden dollars. And that day, every Levaya that came in, they had to pay the 200 golden dollars, or else the officers, who were all big men wearing these fancy uniforms, they did not let them through the gate. And the people all came up with the money, and by the end of the day, they had made 5,000 golden dollars. And the men split it up, and each one took his part, and Rikayon, of course, because he was the brains of the whole thing, took double or triple or whatever it was. He took more than everybody else. And each day, Kinalach, the same thing would be. They would go and they would stand there and collect money until they all became millionaires. And Rikayon became a gigantic millionaire and a billionaire. And he became such a rich man with all the money. Now one day, the king, sitting on his throne in the palace, in his private room that nobody goes in except who the king calls. The king is sitting on his throne and he's talking to one of his big, big officers over there that he called in. And the king says to his officer, "Eh, what's new? What's happening in Mitzrayim? What's going on in my country? Tell me the news." And the big officer says, "King, that's a very, very good idea that you had, that you sent your special officers to collect the tax. Because, King, it looks like you're getting a lot of money from that. It's a very good idea, King. You are going to be the richest king in the world from that tax. A very smart idea, King. I must say, one of the smartest ideas you ever came up with in your whole head." And the king, he starts to think to himself, I don't remember the tax or what you're talking about. Of course, I must have made a smart thing like that, because if it's smart, I must have done it, but I don't exactly know what you're even talking about. What are you talking about? I mean, I want to be rich and everything, but and I do everything smart. Of course, I'm smart. I'm the king, but what are you talking about? And the officer says, King, I'm talking about this special officer, Rekayin, that you sent to the graveyard, and he takes 200 golden dollars from anybody that has to make over there the Levaya, and you sent him in order that that money should go to you. Right, King? The king says, what? I didn't send anybody to the graveyard, an officer, to take money if people have to make a Levaya. I don't remember. I don't think I ever did that. And the officer says, King, you mean you never sent Officer Rekayin over there with 50 other officers to guard and to collect the money? The king says, no. I mean, I know I'm smart and I do smart things, but that smart, I'm sure not. I never did that. I'm not that smart. I mean, I never did that. Well, the officer says, this officer, Rekayin, says that you sent him. And he's becoming a big, gigantic millionaire. But we thought that he's sending part of the money to you, or at least most of the money to you. We understand that you're paying him, of course. I mean, if he's working, you're paying him. He's become a millionaire from what he's taking over there. But wait a minute. You mean he's keeping all the money for himself? You mean you're not paying him? He's not giving you money? And the king says, I didn't get a penny from that. Not a penny. It must be this man made up the whole thing himself, and he's collecting money in my name, saying that I sent him, and he's keeping all the money for himself. Because I never sent him, and I'm not getting a penny. And Kinalach, the officer says to the king, this Rekayin must be a faker man, a big baloney miser man. He must be making it up himself. He's lying to everybody. And he's becoming a big millionaire using your name. And the king got very angry and his face turned red. And he says, it's coming up the day that I go out to my private room and I go into the big room. I call to judgment. I am going to judge this man myself. I won't even send him to other judges. I want you and the other officers to go and put him under arrest and bring him to me on the day, it's going to come up next week, that I go out into the big room and I'm going to judge him myself for doing this terrible thing. And Kinalach, the officer went out from the king and he got the other officers together in the palace. And now they went riding on their white horses out to the graveyard of Mitzrayim. And over there is Rekayin with his fancy schmancy uniform. And the other officers over there, the fake officers with their uniforms. And they're standing over there doing what they're doing, collecting the money. And they go riding over to Rekayin. The other officers, the faker man, the 50 men got very afraid to see the king's officers coming over there. And they wanted to run away. Rekayin says, stay where you are, don't worry. This is the good part. This is what I'm waiting for. And the other officers came over from the king and they said, who is Rekayin? And Rekayin comes over, it's me. You can't see my fancy uniform? You have to ask who I am? You can't see who I am? I'm Rekayin, Officer Rekayin. And they said, you call yourself an officer from the king? Yep. Well, we know that the king never sent you, and this is a fake, and you're under arrest. You have to go to the king next week when he comes out of his royal room, and you have to be judged by the king himself. And they expected Rekayin to be afraid, to start crying, to be afraid. And Rekayin says, hey, great! Fantastic, wonderful, I can hardly wait. What time should I be there? And the other officers look at him. What? Do you hear what we're saying to you? You have to be judged by the king. You have to appear in front of the king yourself. And Rekayin starts jumping up and down, dancing and singing. Yay! Oh-ho! Woo! Whoopee! That's what I'm waiting for. I can hardly wait. And the officers of the king said, you mean you're not afraid to be judged by the king? Do you know what this means? You're making up over here a whole thing in the name of the king, and the king is going to judge you? And Rekayin says, I'm waiting for this. This is exactly what I want. An invitation from the king. Now, over there was also the officer, or the guard, actually, that was by the palace the day that Rekayin first came. And he winked at him and he says, see, I told you I'm going to get an invitation for the king, didn't I? Yep, this is what I'm waiting for. An invitation that the king calls me to the palace. Hey, okay, tell the king I'm coming. And tell the king to get ready for me. Oh, the other officers see, this Rekayin is a character, isn't he? Well, Kinalach, the other officers went back to the palace. Should I go on the story or stop now? Stop? Okay, kiddies, the other officers went back to the palace and they're waiting to see what's going to happen on the day that the king comes out of his royal room. And finally, Kindalach, there came the day that the king sees people. And in the morning, the trumpets are blowing, dee 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 dee, dee 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 dee. And the servants take the red carpet, the red rug, and they roll it out from the king's room that he's in there the whole year. Nobody sees him. And the door opens for the first time the whole year, the last time the whole year. Only that one day, the door opens. And anybody that could comes to the palace that day. Maybe he's going to get a peek at the king. They're outside. They're standing on benches. They're standing on tables. They're standing on each other's shoulders, trying to look into the palace to get a peek to see the king. Only once a year you get to see him, and only from the outside. They don't let anybody in. The inside, only important people, or people that have to see the king, or big officers, big shot officers that get to go in there. Regular people, forget it. They're outside climbing up the walls, trying to get a little peek at the king, maybe to see him. Climbing up trees, climbing up anything they could, ropes and chains and doing all kinds of stuff to be able to see the king maybe 1 second before somebody pulls them down and says, my turn to see the king, peeking through the windows. And the red carpet is rolled out, and the special trumpet blowers go and blow again the trumpets. Dee, 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 dee. And now the king comes out in his shiny crown with his purple robes for the king. And he goes over there on a special throne that they put in the outside room. And everybody says, oh, cake, there's the king. Ooh. And then they make a line of the people that have to see the king. Either very important people or, like I said, people that were called to judgment to come in front of the king himself because the king wants to decide what's going to happen to them. Either the other big judges could not figure out what to do with them or, for example, in this case of Rekayin, the king himself requested, he asked himself to see Rekayin. He doesn't even want to take him to a judge, l'chatchila. In the first place, he doesn't want to take him to a regular judge. He himself wants to judge Rekayin. And now, Kinalach, each person comes in front of the king. Some of them spend a minute, some of them 5 minutes, some of them 10 minutes. And the day is going by. And the king thinks to himself, where is this Rekayin that I called? I sent my special guards to call him. Rekayin wasn't there yet. Where is he? Now, they were not given a special time to come in the day, only they better see the king during that day. And they better be there during that day, or else, if they get there late, let's say they don't even come that day, They are finished. Then the king sends his executioners out to find that person. The executioners, as you know, are dressed in black shoes and black socks and black pants and black shirts and black hats and even black masks, and they carry their big axes on their shoulders, and they go stomping out of the palace, and they track down and they find the person that did not come to the king, and they don't ask any questions. They just lift up the axe and they start swinging, and you can figure out the rest. The person is finished. They better be in the palace. If the king calls them, they better be there, and they better be there during that day. And they better be there before the sun goes down. Now, if the line goes a little bit longer because the king is taking his time, at least they're in the palace, nothing will happen to them. But if they're outside, if they didn't come for some reason, then they are rebelling against the king, which is the biggest no-no that a person can do against the king, to go against him. And the day is going by, 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and as the people go in front of the king, no sign of this Rekayin. And the king even calls one of his big officers over there, and he says, "Where is this Rekayin? Didn't my guards call him?" "Oh yes, the guards called him. In fact," the officer says, "I myself went with the guards, and we called Rekayin." "Well," the king says, "where is he? I'm getting very upset. Where is this Rekayin already?"